Well, on this fourth Sunday in Ordinary Time, we see a lot of discussion of humility in our readings. In fact, humility isn't just one theme among others. It's really the thread that ties all our readings together. We hear it most clearly in the gospel, which Deacon just proclaimed, where we're given the Beatitudes. You know, Jesus looks out at the crowd and proclaims, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the meek, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness." These aren't the qualities the world usually celebrates. They're not about strength or success or self-sufficiency. Rather, they're about total dependence on God, about knowing one's need. But this message echoes, too, throughout the other readings. We see in the first reading from the prophet Zephaniah, as we hear, "Seek the Lord, all you humble of the earth. Seek justice, seek humility." And then in our second reading, St. Paul reminds the Corinthians and us that God chose the foolish of the world to shame the wise. And God chose the weak of the world to shame the strong, so that no human being might boast before God. Humility, then, we see, isn't a side note in Scripture. It's the very way God works. We see this all throughout salvation history. It's the logic of salvation history. If you look at the whole story of salvation history, God's preference for the small, for the weak, for the seemingly unimportant becomes unmistakable. You know, think of Abraham, right? Not just old, but as Scripture so bluntly puts it, and this I think is always a reminder of the sacred authors, sometimes I think have a little sense of humor too, because it describes Abraham as good as dead, right? Yet he's the one chosen to become the father of many nations. You know, think of Moses, who tells God he can't speak well and yet becomes the one through whom God gives the law. You know, think of David, young David, the young, small shepherd boy overlooked even by his own family, and yet chosen to defeat Goliath and shepherd God's people. We've been hearing the story of David in recent days at our weekday masses, and he becomes the greatest king of Israel and the one from whom would come his own descendant, Jesus Christ. Right, the eternal king. We see even Israel, the people of Israel, fits this pattern. You know, you have a nomadic people with no great accomplishments of their own, no great literature of their own until God gives them his word, no great buildings until God gives them the plans to build the temple. And then for a long time before that, they worshipped in what? A tent. Yet again and again, God chooses what is small so that his power can be revealed. And that reaches its fulfillment in the Blessed Virgin Mary. Right? In the eyes of the ancient world, there was little more insignificant than a young, poor, unmarried Jewish girl from an obscure village. And yet God chooses her. God chooses her in her humility. In smallness, she becomes the mother of God. Her whole life proclaims that God's strength is made perfect, not in self-importance, but in surrender. And we see this same humility on display in the feast we celebrate tomorrow, the great feast of the presentation of the Lord, 40 days now after the nativity of the Lord, as we'll hear from the prophet Malachi for the Mass, for the presentation of the Lord tomorrow. And Malachi, the last of the Old Testament prophets, and he proclaims, "And suddenly there will come to the temple the Lord whom you seek." And suddenly there will come to the temple the Lord whom you seek. And indeed he comes, just not in the way that people expected, right? God comes to his temple, not in glory, not in power, but how? In a tiny infant carried in the arms of Mary and Joseph, that the Lord of the temple comes to his temple. He submits to the law of the temple. The one who needs nothing allows himself to be presented, to be offered and dedicated. And moreover, Mary and Joseph who bring the offering of the poor. That's all they could afford, two turtle doves. And it is there in that smallness that God is recognized. By whom? Again, humility, smallness. Jesus is recognized in the temple by Simeon and Anna, who themselves were humble enough to see the salvation right before them, the salvation hidden in weakness in a tiny baby. And let's back up even more. Before his birth, who's the first to recognize the Lord in the womb of his mother, Mary? Another baby in the womb of his mother, John the Baptist, right? Time and again, we see God works this way. He works through the small, through the humble, through the unimportant. You know, St. Paul tells us why God works this way, that no one may boast before God. This isn't because God wants us humiliated or because he needs to make himself bigger or something, right? It's because he knows who we are. He knows who we are as our creator. He knows the truth about us. The word humility, after all, comes from the root humus, not hummus. I enjoy hummus. But it's humus, which means of the earth, of soil, of dirt. That's the root for humility. But by nature, we are dust. And we'll be reminded, public service announcement, in a little more than 2 weeks, right, on Ash Wednesday, when the ashes are placed on our forehead and we're told, remember, man, that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. When we acknowledge that truth, that's when God can lift us up. Brothers and sisters, this is the invitation before us this Sunday, to tell the truth about ourselves before God. To tell the truth about ourselves before God. Not to pretend to be stronger than we are, and for that matter, not to pretend to be weaker than we are. Not to put ourselves down, but to stop managing our image before God. To name honestly where we are tired, where we're afraid, where we're stuck, or feel like we're unable to fix ourselves. And sometimes it's that very thought that we have to be able to fix something. You know, what part of your life is revealing your need for God? What part of your life is revealing your need for God? The place in your life where you're not enough or feel like you're not enough may be the very place God is waiting to meet you. The scripture is clear. Strength is more dangerous than weakness. Wealth is more dangerous than poverty. Success is more dangerous than failure. Not because strength or weakness or success are bad in and of themselves, but because they can become for us objects of our love, of our attention. And this is why, for instance, scripture warns us about riches, because wealth is strength, but boiled down into an object. We've been reading, again, the incredible story of King David at Mass the last couple of weeks. And again, we're going to get to this Wednesday, I believe, in the reading. But this is when David has his great fall. His great fall comes when? When he decides to number his kingdom. And he acknowledges after he's doing so merely to admire his own power. So we're invited, brothers and sisters, to stop resisting weakness. You know, often it's like in the midst of our weakness, we're looking at our own limitations, it's not always that we're rejecting God, but we do reject or we resist our own weakness, our limitations. And again, those are often the places where God is waiting to meet us. So where are those places you're constantly trying to appear strong? In parenthood or marriage or some other relationship or work or health or some pattern of sin in your life or in your faith. Instead of asking God to just take away every limitation, what if we asked him to work through it? Often that's precisely the place where God desires to meet us. We heard in the second reading in St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians, three times Paul begged the Lord to free him from the flesh and the thorn in the flesh, and he didn't. And as St. Paul tells us from the Lord, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. But importantly, brothers and sisters, humility is not passivity. Rather, it's cooperation. It's letting God do what only God can do. It's surrendering control. And this is why the Beatitudes, as we heard in the Gospel, make sense. According to the world's logic, not so much. But according to the logic of the Gospel, Jesus is blessing those who live in the truth. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who know of their need for God. The Beatitudes aren't impossible ideals. They're a description of the kind of heart that God can fill. Our Lady, our Blessed Lady, is a reminder of this, how she teaches us we don't become great by grasping, but rather by making room. By making room, by trusting that God can do more with our weakness than we can do with our own strength. Blessed are the poor in spirit, because when we finally stop pretending to be full, that's when God can give us everything. And in a few moments, we will receive everything. At this altar, as our Lord Jesus gives us his very self in the Holy Eucharist, so humbly, as we prepare now to come to the altar, we receive the Lord who comes to us so humbly, hidden in the forms of bread and wine. May we receive him in true humility, empty-handed, with hearts surrendered to him more fully. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.